About desegregation, in the late 60s, the federal government mandated a change in the demographics in schools all across the country. You'll have to correct me in some of this as I talk about this, but was it true that a federal judge finally gave Tulsa Public Schools a deadline for integrating Booker T., Washington High School, Carver Junior High, six elementary schools?
To my knowledge, that's right. I don't remember the exact dates, but that was the goal.
Getting to that goal wasn't easy. As we think about Booker T., the demographics had to be 50% black, 50% white. Black students in the 60s had begun to attend predominantly white high schools. A boundary change was made in the school district to begin merging white students with black students at Booker T. How did you accomplish this? You had a principal by the name of H.J. Green at Booker T. Talk about that whole background and scenario as how you were trying to desegregate and make Booker T. a different school.
Well, we were concerned, looking nationally, at forced busing that was occurring even down the road in Oklahoma City. So we were attempting to come up with some kind of voluntary program that would work. We made several attempts to, say, desegregate Booker T. And by the way, the federal government never did define desegregation. You'd say, well, is it 50-50? Well, they wouldn't say. Is it 25-75? They wouldn't say. We never knew what was on their minds. And the other factor was that just about every 2 or 3 months, it seemed like, they changed attorneys. And so it was a matter of our attorneys re-educating the new ones on our progress or lack thereof. So over the period of time, it was very frustrating, first of all, not to know what the goal was. Second, of course, how to accomplish what may be satisfactory. We had not heard of a voluntary program nationally at the time. So eventually, after struggling with probably 2 years of meetings and alternative ideas and so forth, the voluntary thing came up. We had tremendous support from Bob Fortune, mayor at the time, Nancy McDonald, you know, just a number of people like that, Penny Williams, among others. Our first effort was at Burroughs Little School. That materialized before Washington or Carver, both. And it demonstrated to essentially the white population on the South Side that people were willing to integrate black with white at Burroughs, and it was working very well. This led ultimately to the decision by the board to close Washington on paper and to reinvent it as a 50-50. We couldn't figure out any other way that the percentage of desegregation could be any more pure than 50-50. So we began recruiting blacks and whites for the school. This was a very slow, tedious process. You almost had to go one-on-one with parents and small coffee groups and things like that to explain what the details would be. We also had to recruit teachers to go to those schools. There were certain teachers that are just magnetic in their abilities and so forth, and so we targeted those folks, and several of them agreed to go. Some didn't. Several did, both black and white teachers. We maximized the curriculum simply by using the what I'll call high-dollar teachers with reputations to go to the schools.
What was to be the total population for the school?
Originally, it was to be 500 of each, 1,000 kids. I don't remember what the incident or incidents were, but it seemed like 6 weeks or so before school was to open, the board bumped the number to 600 and 600. Well, it was difficult enough to find 500 whites, 500 blacks that would attempt to make this program work, but we were given the task of finding the rest, and we did.
Did you question upping the number? What was really behind that? What did you think it was?
Well, I think it was just pressure from the community, particularly the black community, because after all, Booker T. was and is the star or the crown jewel of schools in the black community. I could understand from their standpoint why they wanted more kids in there.
Did they think you'd fail at getting the 50-50?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know what was behind their motives, but we finally did get that number.
Did the black community embrace this concept immediately, or was that a sell as well?
No, that was a sell as well, because Booker T. Washington had the history of black education behind it, and very fine teachers that worked very well with the black students to disseminate some of those teachers out, some of those very fine teachers to other schools, was a negative as far as the North Side was concerned, obviously. In turn, to bring white teachers in who they had no knowledge of in terms of their quality or interests in their community. Eventually it worked out, of course, but initially it was a hard sell.
Did you have to also visit homes of blacks because you preferred, and we'll get into more of that, you went to white families to recruit. Did you have to, other than board meetings, attend small neighborhood meetings?
No, I did not. A sufficient number of blacks were ready to enroll at Booker T. Washington. That was the problem. As a matter of fact, I don't know what the enrollment was before we revamped the school, but there were sufficient numbers. Also, as we went through this process, we developed what we called non-contiguous zoning. There also was an area within walking distance, I don't remember what the distance was, around Booker T, that students who lived in that area could go to the school anyway. So it wasn't desegregated right up to the doors of the school. There was an area around there where children could go to that school if they lived in that neighborhood. But our effort was to focus on the white population. They were the ones that were essentially going to have to be transported long distance.
I would imagine the black community were also afraid of the tradition of the past and the traditions that they had for football teams and spirit clubs and all those kind of things.
Well, absolutely. That was the big sticking point. You know, it was a social center. It was history for the black community. Like I say, their pride was focused on the fact that they did well in athletics, and they had individuals who left the school who became prominent in their particular professions as well. So it was like any other school. You have that loyalty, and it's perfectly understandable if the problems emerged in their minds that we were trying to destroy the school or something like that. Of course, we were not. We were trying to desegregate as peacefully as we could.
Did you have the school board solidly behind you on this, so they were also spokespeople and helped you tell the message?
Yes, we did. Eugene Harris was a representative from that area and was very articulate and understood what the issues were and the necessity. I think like any government mandate, like health care today, it's a matter of time before the information trickles down, the details trickle down. It doesn't just occur overnight. In our case, it took 3 years.